Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, we're going to be talking about a subject that is maybe for some of you going to be significant, others not so significant. But I'll tell you what, I've got a gentleman that's sharing the microphone with me today. His name is Mark Lindemer, and we're going to be talking about wedding receptions made perfect. Now, you don't have a wedding, perhaps, but maybe you know of someone that's going to be doing this. And when I went into his website and I looked at all the information he has there, I thought, holy Joseph, I'm pooped just before I get through step number three. And he's got 8 steps to wedding reception perfection. But I'll give you a tip. There's some of these things in here that can be useful for any big event you might be having. So don't think this is not of interest. If you like to entertain, there's a lot of good information here. Mark, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Donna. It's my pleasure to be on your show and to share some time with all your listeners, too.
Well, I'll tell you what. A wedding reception, from what I've heard through the years with so many different people, they go, it can be a nightmare or it can be a joy. And many, many times people turn stuff over to somebody else so that they don't have the headaches. But you have a website on, you've actually got a book on your website.
Right.
That people can go to, and of course that's wed-perfect.com, and we're going to be talking about some of these things. But I want to know, how did you as a male decide that this was going to be a significant part of your life, that this was an arena where you were going to generate income and this was your job? How in the world did a man like you decide to do this?
Well, the funny thing is my first career was in pharmaceutical sales. And then after that, I left that to go into being a mobile disc jockey for wedding receptions. So, of course, all my friends said I went from drugs to rock and roll.
Yeah. I like that one. That one I like.
You know, but the real reason that I got into the business is my just deep abiding love for music. It's something of my earliest memories are music, and I just grew up with it inside of me, and I wanted to do something to express it. And not being capable enough of a musician, I decided to be a mobile DJ.
A mobile DJ. Now tell us what that, now I've got a pretty good idea what it is, but what all did that encompass? I mean, here you are being a mobile DJ. How did you get your gigs? Or, you know, what was it? Did you travel all over the country? What did you do?
Well, in 1983, my wife and I went to a party, and they had mobile DJ there, and at that time, which was like 26 years ago, what that meant was a local radio DJ went on location somewhere to spin a few records. And when I saw that, I thought, wow, that's interesting. I just really captured my imagination that somebody could do that. So then I decided that'd be something I'd really enjoy doing. And so as far as how I got business and got started, I think at that time, everybody just got started in the bar business. You just went around to the bars and played music in bars for people until 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, just to learn how to do it. So it really just got started because I just wanted to do it in the worst way.
But here you are with all of this information. You've really got this book online. And I like what you say because you're still doing it today. But you say you really need to be aware of some things. So you've just nailed some. You've done over 6,000 wedding receptions?
Well, myself and my staff have done that many. I've had a lot of really great DJs work for me over the years. So, yes, altogether, the mobile DJ service that I still have has done that many receptions in our history, and that's over the last 26 years. And out of all that experience grew Wedding Reception Perfection, because I wanted to share the experience of what makes a reception fun and successful on a national scale through the Internet.
Well, And it looks like you have done just an absolutely awesome job. Now, Mark, let's go through. You say you've got 8 chapters online, which you do, and I've been there, and I've been able to go through all 8. And let's just take a couple of points. You say it's very important to use people who are experienced to do a wedding reception. Are you talking about a particular size? I mean, I know people that are really on limited budgets, and so they want to have a reception, and so maybe mom will fix something up, or they'll, you know, they'll do something on a small scale. But what is usually the size of reception that you're accustomed to dealing with?
Well, the average size of a reception today is about 200 people, but that doesn't mean it can't drop down to 50 or be as many as 500.
Mm-hmm.
But about 200 is the average, and I would say that people that are having a smaller wedding and they're watching their budget, which a lot of people are doing today, just simply need to prioritize really what's most important to them and be sure that they're satisfied with whatever that is, that happens at their reception. But, of course, we think that music can make or break a reception, so if you're going to have music, it is really important to consult with somebody that can really help guide them through getting ready for the musical side and also the hosting side of a reception.
Well, I think that's very, very important. Of course, with your material, there's a lot of guidelines. Now, one of the things I wanted to ask you relative to the music, I've been to so many different environments where there's been bands playing, et cetera. Can you explain to me why they feel like the decibel level has to be loud enough to equal a 777?
Well, bands are accustomed to playing in all kinds of different venues, and they get their sound just right for them, and the balance between the different instruments and the vocalists is really kind of preset so that it sounds right when they play. Well, unfortunately, sometimes that sound level isn't appropriate for a smaller venue as opposed to playing in a great big arena of some sort. And unfortunately, they don't have a dial that can turn it all up and all down at once. So their hands are kind of tied when it comes to the volume level.
That's a very interesting thing for you to say, because I've been at some events where the music level was so loud and the musicians were even asked to tone it down because you couldn't even talk to anybody.
Right.
That's why I wanted to ask that question of you. So if someone is going to have a band, and I know a lot of it depends on the building. If you're going to have, you know, entertainment like that, and your building dependent on whether it's got a high roof, if you've got a lot of wood or a lot of metal in the ceiling, the sound can ricochet around like a ping pong ball.
Right. That's
so
right.
So you have all of these variables. What would you say to someone that might be concerned about noise level at the gathering? How can they work with a group so that they know that they're not supposed to blast everybody out of their seats so their eardrums are ringing when they walk out?
Well, I can't be an absolute expert on how a band would handle that and how they would address that question, but as far as a DJ goes, that's really can be a simple or a complex matter. It just depends upon how cooperative the DJ is that they're dealing with. And any DJ that's playing for a wedding reception should be very cooperative with their client because they have one chance to get it right. They can't come back tomorrow night like in a club and try again.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to get it right the first time. And when it comes to volume, it's a simple matter for any DJ to turn it down. And even for somebody that maybe has some experience but not a great deal of experience with the volume issue, what a DJ really needs to do is to go out into the room during dance music and listen to it himself. Because when you're behind the speakers, it's about half the volume that it is on the dance floor, and that can be a real eye-opener.
Very good information. All right. Now, when your people are doing services, there are a lot of different people, you know, that are going to help them because they're going to be dealing with a photographer, florist, a DJ, or a band.
Right.
They're going to have food. You know, sometimes people have phenomenal dinner spreads and buffets. Sometimes there's sit-down dinners. And then today's world, you want to have all this video work going on.
Yeah.
So pulling this all together, like you said, it's really important that you have someone to help you coordinate it. And I think having lists is a good idea. But how far in advance would you say someone should plan for this?
Well, if you're going to have the best services be at your wedding reception, they need to be booked about a year in advance, because if you wait longer than that, they start getting booked up, and then you have less to choose from closer to your date if you don't do it a year ahead of time. In regard to hiring the best services, always hire the best services you possibly can afford. Now, that might sound kind of obvious, but, you know, if somebody's looking at a DJ and the difference is $200 and they know that they're going to get somebody a whole lot better for $200, spend it every time, because there's other ways to easily save money. But that way you can make sure you get the kind of entertainment that's going to make the reception fun and successful. And that's the whole point. You know, people want to leave the reception saying, that was the best reception I've ever been to. That's the goal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that requires sometimes stretching yourself a little bit, if you're the bride or the groom or whoever's paying for the entertainment, to make sure that that happens. So we really say that spend as much as you possibly can on entertainment, because you really do get what you pay for.
Now, you talk about horror stories here, which made me chuckle, because as soon as someone announces, I'm getting married and I'm going to be doing such and such, yeah, and I'm hearing you laughing, because I'm sure you've got a few you could even share. But there will be people who say, oh, my God, you know what I went through? Oh, let me tell you. And so it's sort of like the movie The Greek Wedding,
yeah,
you know, or, you know,
sure.
It's really hilarious many, many times, because everybody's going to have a story of some kind to share.
Yeah.
But what's the worst story that you've heard?
The worst story I've heard was when a bride and groom were introduced to cut their wedding cake, and they made their way up to the cake in front of about 400 people in a big, elegant hotel. And the groom's friends decided they were just going to really egg the guy on about smashing the bride with cake. And he was told in advance, do not do it. Just don't do it. And what happens sometimes is that people get into situations they're not familiar with. Like, how often does somebody cut cake in front of 500 people? Not very often. So they don't always think right, just because they're in an emotionally charged situation. Well, anyway, what he did was he flattened a big piece of cake on the bride's face.
Ah!
I tell you what, when you do that to a bride who just spent hours getting perfect, and you do that to her in front of all your guests, she's not going to be happy. So,
not a great way to start a marriage.
No. So, but that's not all, because after he did that, she ripped off the top tier of that cake and speared it over his head.
Oh, no. This is like something out of a movie. You're not serious. She took the top of the cake and smashed it over his head?
No more top tier for the first anniversary. That's what I'm saying. If you want to eat it, you're going to get it now.
Oh, so, my goodness.
It splatters all over the room, and the whole crowd goes in unison.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, and so they're both trying to get it out of their eyeballs, and they both head off to their respective bathrooms to get cleaned up while dinner waits. You know, and service is delayed. Well, the way it worked out, they're both kind of the personality that they actually survived such a thing.
I'm amazed. I'm surprised there wasn't.
Actually, a little bit later on, they were all kind of laughing about it, and everybody had a great time all night anyway. But, you know, that's a huge risk that you would never want to take as a groom. Never. You know, and if you do, and you think it's funny to your friends, well, your friends aren't going on the honeymoon with you, but you better take your camping sleeping bag with you if you do that. That's
if he even goes.
Yeah, that's going to be your future.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. Wow. Well, I'm glad to hear that everything turned out okay.
It did. It really did, you know. Sometimes it is kind of amazing how things turn out okay when people are in very unfamiliar situations, but a lot of the wedding reception perfection website deals with how to avoid such situations.
Mm-hmm.
They can be landmines.
Mm-hmm. Which is very good, and that's what the information on your site gives. And you talk about don't overbook time. Don't ram things together time-wise. And if you're at a church and then you've got to get to the reception, because things can go awry. So try to plan so that you have some time in there to work with. And I have yet to perform a wedding ceremony, because I am a minister. I have yet to perform a wedding ceremony or been at a wedding ceremony where the bride is on time. I mean, always late. Why? Because they've got photographers taking pictures at the church, and she's maybe going to change her clothes. Maybe she's not going to change her clothes, but things happen, and it's just amazing to me. You have to have a good sense of humor, I think.
Well, Donna,
Donna,
you know the kind of pressure that can put on the rest of the day, or at least put on for the moment. Now, when somebody's late, I mean. On the other hand, pressure is something that's self-inflicted. If the bride's going to be late, she's just going to be late, and nothing's going to hurry her up. And so, okay, that's okay. You know, if she's maybe 10 minutes late, even 15 minutes late, that's still okay, because things get done in a timely manner, and that's what really matters. But if she's carrying around a timeline, and, you know, you can find 1,000 timelines online and on the Internet, and if people believe those timelines are a good idea, they better just throw them out, because that just sets up false expectations of how things are going to go. Sure, you want to do the things you have in mind, and you want to have fun, and you want it to be your way, but to put, you know, 7:02 p.m., we're going to, you know, thank our guests for coming to the reception. That is just a setup for stress and disappointment, and they got to toss that timeline right away. Still do everything they want, but do it in a timely manner. That's just the point.
Now, there's something that you make a comment about, that when you are choosing your location for your reception, and lots of times people, if they're going to be at a certain church, they will want to make sure that the reception is at that church if it's possible. And, of course, that depends on the size of your group. So if it is separate, you've made some very good suggestions that you, one, give directions to people, very clear directions, and be sure that they know the correct name of the place they're going to, because there's a lot of different facilities that may have a very similar name, and they could be driving around, you know, for 2.5 hours trying to figure out where you are.
Oh, sure. And probably 85% of your guests aren't from town.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
That is true. So that's a very, very good tip, and that would be for anything that you might do in the way of a reception or a party or what have you. Just make sure your guests always know wherever you are. Now, let's go back to the music for a bit, because I think that this is something that is so key. The entertainment is so key when you're having a party.
Right.
And hopefully you're going to get a band that is going to not feel like hard rock is the only way to go. So if you've got a real experienced band, they usually have a very eclectic arrangement of music. How does one work that out? How do you go through that? Because the bride and the groom both have to work on this, correct?
Yes, they do. They really should. Although sometimes the groom just defers to the bride, because if the bride's happy, he's happy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of true about life. But
now, wait a minute.
What?
That deferring to the bride, it's easier that way. Come on, hey. The guys, come on, let's be fair here.
If the bride's happy, the groom's happy. That's
okay.
You know.
All right. Yeah, I'm just fussing at you a little bit there. Anyway, what I was going to say is, with the music, and of course it depends, lots of times I found for those couples, depending on their family members and the age range that they have, they'll say, well, we want to have a mix. You know, we're going to have some hot to trot stuff that's really popular today, and then maybe we'll have some slow dancing for the older folks so they can get out on the dance floor, because they're not going to want a boogie-woogie or rock and roll the way the younger ones do. And I've also seen it where they have, you know, a more easygoing, laid-back music, and then towards the end of the reception, when a lot of the guests perhaps are going to be ready to leave, the older generation, then they say, okay, now we're going to have 2 hours of just whatever is the most popular stuff, and kabam, then they go in for that, and you don't care about the noise volume because you're perhaps on your way out. But this is there's this different type of planning that can go in, and I think that that has to be thought out. That's really good.
Oh,
so how far in advance should the couple in planning this out work with the musicians?
Well, they should start planning their music and all their announcements and activities, planning for all those, too. about 2 months before their wedding date. They can do some light planning ahead of time, but really oftentimes plans change because tastes change or ideas change. So it just really makes more sense to wait till about 2 months before the wedding date and to start planning. And Donna, I can tell you've been to a lot of wedding receptions because you basically said the way it should work. And the way it should work with music is balance and flow.
Mm-hmm.
If you have good balance and flow, it is possible to keep all generations happy at the same time, even if they have very diverse tastes in music. And that's because if you have good balance and flow, you'll have a certain generational segment on the dance floor for 10 or 15 minutes, and they dance hard.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do that, they're just physically going to be ready for a break. And so when they do that, because they want to go to the bar and get, you know, visit with somebody, and they've danced hard for 15 minutes, then you rotate to a different genre of music from a different decade or style and get that group out there. And I don't want to imply that different age groups don't mix, because they do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you'll have a style of music that's dominant. And let's say it's disco. Well, you know, obviously people that used to have, you know, the 3-inch heels and the bell bottoms are going to be out there reliving the old days when they went to all the discotheques in the 70s. And they'll be out there hard. And then after that, maybe it's time to slow it down and go back, you know, another generation or go forward another generation. But what happens is that when the DTR band does that, and he plays 4 or 5 different musical styles within the first hour of the reception, everybody gets a subliminal message that, hey, there's something for everybody here tonight, and this is fun.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talk about in your material something that I found very interesting, that the couple should let the DJ know their favorite drink so that whoever is the DJ can bring it to that couple as soon as they arrive at the banquet center. And I've never heard of that. That is really marvelous. I mean, the DJ isn't just there to do the music. There's more involved here. That is a very, very nice gesture.
Well, thanks, Donna. That's one of our very favorites. We'll ask people what their favorite drink is, and they'll say, well, what do you want to know that for?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we tell them, well, it's just for why you said. When they arrive, there's no way they get a drink because everybody's, you know, taking their photograph, shaking their hand. They never even can get close to the bar, you know, so that's the point. We get their drink, their favorite drink for the bride and the groom, because they told us in advance what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And we look out for them, and when they get there, we run to the bar and tell them it's for the bride and groom and chase out into the foyer or wherever they are and hand them the drink, and oftentimes it's just the greatest thing because they'll look at you like, how did you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then it'll hit them, oh, yeah, we told you.
Mm-hmm.
And they are so happy because, especially in the summertime, you know, they can just be
dehydrated, right?
Sure, you know, and they're just all fired up. They really need something to drink at that moment. And I just got to tell you, in finishing that little point, if a DJ or a band member does that, if he makes a little mistake during the rest of the night, maybe pronounces somebody's name wrong or something, it doesn't matter anymore. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's not like you have to be perfect the rest of the night because they already love you.
Yes, just that kind of thoughtfulness. You talk about the various services that the DJs offer, which, again, I mean, I wouldn't have had a clue about this. It's, you know, announcing that, you know, the reception has begun, when dinner's served. You know, it all depends on the circumstances that are going on. So the DJ really can assist at the reception quite a bit. Ways and manners, and that's what's offered on your website, which I think is just absolutely amazing. Now, you mentioned something about cocktails, too. And again, all of this information is on your website, wed-perfect.com, but I find a lot of the little tips that you have in here are really good if someone wanted to do, you know, not necessarily a wedding reception, but a big reception of some kind, whether it's for a political party or it is for a big anniversary deal or whatever. A lot of the tips that you have in your site, I think, could be very useful to anyone if they're willing to just, you know, go through them and, you know, be aware of certain things. You go in talking about dealing with grandparents and, of course, the parents and the bridal party. Yeah. And what I liked was the section on how to introduce divorce to remarried parents. This is always an exciting moment for a lot of them when they do that.
Right. Well, Donna, I want to thank you for that idea. I never thought of it that way. Some of these things can be applied to other occasions, and that's an excellent thought. Thank you. And again, if things are handled correctly, such as the right way to introduce divorce to remarried parents, it's not hard to do. It's just knowing how to do it. And there's things that people can miss. They just there's no way they would think of them. Like, for instance, I'll give you an example. If there's a remarriage, and let's say the bride has a son, and when the bride and groom are going to get married, her son is going to assume the groom's last name. Well, when they're filling out the paperwork ahead of time, he's still Billy Jones, meaning the son. But when, so that they put down Billy Jones, because that's the son's name when they fill out the stuff. They're not married yet. But then when they get married, it's supposed to be Billy Smith, and it takes a real sharp DJ or host to catch that one. So if you ever see the name Step in front of somebody's name, you need to make sure that the name is right when you do those introductions, because now they're married. Tricky stuff. So that's what we tried to put on the website, so that things go smooth and people avoid these little landmines, you know. And you know, everybody can survive a little landmine here and there. I mean, it's not going to end the world, but you know, you don't want to have a whole lot of them happening in one night, because it can mar the mood.
Well, also what I liked on your site is that you have 10 questions. And again, it's a whole book. So those of you listening, if you'd be interested in going, you can go and get his book. Web-perfect.com is the website. But questions to ask potential entertainers. You have 10. Mm-hmm. And I really think that these are very significant questions. And well, I just, one of the best ones I think you had here, a suggestion, was to go see them perform at someone else's reception, because you want to actually see them in action. And I've known of situations where people have just been devastated by the result. They assumed they were getting one thing, and they ended up getting something else. So there, you've got questions on your site. And again, this could be applied to any event. If you're putting something together for a Celtic group or what have you, these are questions that would be applicable no matter what kind of an event you were putting together.
Sure.
And you say submit your plan early, keep changes to a minimum, and share your information. Boy, is that that is so necessary.
Well, thank you, Donna. I appreciate all your kind comments. We have put a lot of time into it, the 26 years of experience, and then the development of it took almost a year from some very skilled people that just happened to be fortunate enough to know locally. As far as sharing the information, just to make one point on that real quick, that puts everybody on the same page, especially the DJ band and the photographer and the banquet center. They all need to know the same things, such as what to confirm the time of dinner, the time of introductions. Are grandparents going to be seated, or are they going to be entering the room so that the photographer can get the picture? And with the Wedding Reception Perfection website, they can share that information over the web.
Yes, they can.
Yeah.
And in today's world, there is so much of that is shared. And I will just tell you, we all have stories that we can tell about, I wish I had done this, or I wish I had done that. And sometimes it's good to listen to other people's suggestions, and then sometimes you just have to decide what you're going to be doing and how you want to do it.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
I do think your website is excellent. Wed-perfect.com. That's WED-perfect.com. And again, the information, this is Wedding Reception Made Perfect. But it's something that if you've got an event, maybe you're going to be doing something for your community, why not check this out? If you don't have a lot of experience with it, which so many of us don't, then why not take advantage of someone that's already put the information together for you? You can cruise and peruse through it and pick out what it is that you need. Download it, and then you've got it for your own reference. And it's great to have. Mark, I want to thank you so much for being my guest today.
Well, Donna, it's really been a pleasure. And again, I sincerely appreciate all your comments, and I hope that if it just makes one bride and groom happy, then mission accomplished.
Well, I think that'll be the case. Mark Lindemer, thank you very much again for being my guest. Go to his website, wed-perfect.com. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to give me a buzz, I would be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here is our toll-free telephone number that you can call into, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And if you've not called in before, all you need to do is give me your first name or your initial, and then after that, you're welcome to ask me, after I give you your information, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. Yes, and that is something that's so easy and simple. Just give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. Now, for those of you who are in Western Washington, I want to let you know I've got 10 free family passes to the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. Now, this is coming up in August. All you need to do is send me an email, and you need to just put in the Donna Sebo Show and put in fair tickets, F-A-I-R-E tickets, and then send me your contact information, and I am more than happy to send you a family day pass. Now, I've been involved with this activity for a number of years here in the state of Washington, and this is being held at the Maris Farms in Buckley this year, and it is just incredible. So if you want more information, if you're in the state of Washington, if you're going to be flying in maybe to attend the event, we get people from all over the world that come out for it, then go to the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair website, and you'll have all kinds of details. But I'm happy to give free passes here. These have been gifted to me by the group itself, and so if you'd like to have one, send me an email, and then we'll get the pass out to you. And again, this is a family pass, so whether it's two of you or 16, this will enable you to experience something that is absolutely magical, and I'm delighted to be, again, involved in it. When I'm there, and this is the first three weekends in August, by the way, the first three weekends in August, so Saturday and Sunday, you can enter into this marvelous world of times past, and you can even rent costumes when you get there if you like. There's all kinds of activities, jousting nights and other wonderful things. I'll be there. Look for my booth with the bright yellow banners that have the gigantic red lions on them. So I'll be there doing readings for people, and of course I'll be in costume as well. It's so much fun to get all dressed up like that in that time period. So I hope that you will join us. Don't forget, send me an email to the Donna Sebo Show. And that's DelphiInternational.com, Donna@DelphiInternational.com. The diamond has always been considered the hardest substance around. Well, apparently, that's no longer the case. It's hard to believe, and we all know the diamond's reputation. It is under threat. Why? Because some researchers in China, as well as here in the United States, found out that there are two naturally occurring substances that actually surpass a diamond's resistance to scratching and indentation. There are minerals. Lonsdaleite, made of carbon-like diamond, is 58% harder than what they call its famous cousin. And Wurzite boron nitride beats the diamond's hardness by about 18%. After they subject it to pressure. Why does that happen? Well, apparently when they put it under intense pressure, it changes the atomic bonds that are within the structure of the material. Now, they say in the short term, the diamond's going to continue to dominate in practical applications such as saws, drill bits, and industrial abrasives, since the newly studied materials are very, very rare. And because some of these materials will only form under the extreme pressure and heat accompanying a meteorite impact. Well, you know, it's amazing. Then, for example, the Wurzite boron nitride is a byproduct of intense volcanic eruption. So this isn't easy stuff to find. But guess what they can do? Yep, they can create it in the lab. You know, there are labs now that have been developed that create diamonds, and when they take those diamonds in and put them side by side with the real thing, they can't tell them apart. The only reason they can tell them apart is that the artificial diamonds that have been produced have a signature on them. But otherwise, they just cannot tell them apart. They have developed the technology to that level of efficiencies. There's a physicist, John Janik, who's at the Carnegie Institution for Science, and he said, although producing the conditions requires to grow substances in bulk, and that's sort of a challenge if you're trying to appeal to a world market. They're working on synthesizing the Wurzite boron nitride and lonsdaleite to pave the way for commercial use. Well, they've already done it for the reproduction of diamonds, and it's an amazing story. We happened to see a program not that long ago. They wouldn't allow the people who were doing the filming at this facility to in any way give any clues as to where they might be. In fact, they were taken, the camera crew as well as the host that was talking about, were taken blindfolded to the location because it's hidden. They don't want people to know where they are. But the mechanization and the technology is just absolutely phenomenal. So in our era, in our lifetimes, we're seeing a capability of reproducing many times what's taken millions of years for nature to be able to do. We ourselves may be able to do it within a short period of time, thereby creating a whole new level of materials that can be used for all kinds of applications. It's quite fascinating. Some really good information that has been found out is that there's a scorpion antivenom that helped all 8 children who received it recover from nerve poisoning following a sting. Now, the University of Arizona brought that out. And guess what? Daydreaming Remember how somebody would say, oh, you're just daydreaming, you're wasting your time. Well, they've changed that term to mind wandering. And in the research that has been done, oh, yes, people are always checking on all sources of information, trying to figure out why things occur, which is good. Well, they find that mind wandering is not just a lazy way of tuning out. It engages the brain network responsible for solving complex problems. And the thing is that when you are doing that, when you're doing the daydreaming, sometimes if you put a problem in front of your mind and you go, I wonder, the brain has a chance, because you're not trying to force anything, to collectively work and bring all kinds of material and information in the psyche together. And you just never know what brainstorm you're going to come up with. It's absolutely amazing. So when your kid is sort of being of that dreamy look, don't be so hard on them, because they are actually engaging in a different way. They actually might be working on a problem, and they're trying to figure it out. If someone's really creative, they often need that quiet time to be able to do what they need to do. On the other side of the coin, 1.48 billion wild animals were brought into the United States between 2000 and 2006. This is a major problem, and most were not labeled with a species identification. People, for some reason, have this attitude about smuggling animals in. And I remember when I used to do broadcasts over in Hawaii, I heard all kinds of stories. And, of course, when you go over to the Hawaiian Islands, you have to fill out all kinds of paperwork before you get off the plane, asking if you have certain things with you or if you're bringing any plants in or what have you, animals. But I can remember someone telling me that it worked at an airport that a woman had smuggled a boa constrictor. And I thought, how in the sense? She must have been a big woman. I mean, a boa constrictor is a sizable snake. And they don't, Hawaii doesn't have snakes naturally. So anyway, there was that. There were all kinds of things that came in. Hawaii never had mosquitoes until the expeditions that came in. Someone got upset, left barrels of tainted water that were filled with mosquito larvae. They left them on the islands, and that was the beginning of mosquitoes. And then the rats and the mongoose, and, you know, you have all kinds of things that have evolved in the islands that were not there for a long, long time because people have brought them in. We have new insects, all kinds of things. Well, we're a very mobile society anymore, but it's amazing what people bring in. So 1.48 million wild animals brought into the United States that should not have been brought in. And also, some fun research that I think is so great. All of this conversation about how fat we're getting and this is wrong and that's wrong and, gee, we ought to have state laws requiring all the restaurants to list what's good for you and what's not good for you. Do you know what they found? They found that you can list every single item on a menu, talk about the calories, the fat content, and all of this stuff, but you know what? Doesn't make any difference in what people choose to eat. They are the ones that are going to decide what they're going to put in their mouths, and it is up to them, not the restaurant, to make their choices. So I think a lot of these silly laws that they're trying to put into place are ridiculous. If people want to have pizza or quadruple max loaded with mayonnaise, etc., they're going to order it. Nobody's going to say you can't have it. You're 30 pounds overweight or 500 pounds overweight. You can't have this. No, it's up to the individual. So I have to chuckle every time I see these ads on television saying, well, I could make more intelligent choices if I knew how nutritional everything was. Baloney. Most of us already know that there's a big difference between a carrot stick and two scoops of vanilla ice cream. Okay, so there is a difference there. So it's just dumbing us down. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. But they found people are going to eat what they want to eat. So if you've got a problem with weight, folks, just like me, you have to decide on what you're going to put in your mouth and how you're going to take care of yourself. It's up to you. Absolutely up to you. One other comment before we go on break. There was an Italian foundry. A study was done at it and found that exposure to particular air pollutants can alter one's DNA in as little as 3 days. Believe it or not, that's true. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. I'd be happy to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-815-9756. This is Donna Sebo, and tomorrow we're going to be talking with Dr. Janine Talty. indigo awakening. This lady says, we all have a bit of indigo in ourselves. And what does that mean? It means that you've got psychic ability. So we'll be talking with her tomorrow. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Hi, Donna Sebo here. If you want to give me a buzz and chat, 888-815-9756 is the number to call into. I'd be delighted to give you a little bit of insight into your life, and all you need to do is give me a buzz whenever you're ready. Now, Wally Amos is one of the people that I just, over the years, I've just so enjoyed Wally. I've enjoyed his commentaries in various publications, and I've had him as a guest on my show. And he is so well known for certain terms and, you know, the famous Amos cookies, which are no longer his. That was just such a significant part of his life, and he ended up losing that the rights to all kinds of things relative to those cookies. And then he wrote a book about watermelon magic. And I thought I would give a quote. I came across some information about this wonderful book. And he has these watermelon credo. And I thought, boy, for summertime, isn't this a wonderful thing to keep in mind? And he said it's really helped him get through rough times. So many times when we become aware of a celebrity, we like to think that they have this idyllic life. Well, Wally's life has been anything but idyllic. He's had a lot of blessings, don't get me wrong. This man has just enjoyed so many good things in his life. But he's also experienced some very, very tough, hard situations. And it's what we all go through at one time or another. Well, he took the word watermelon and he broke it down into components, and I thought I would share it with you today because it's just perfect. W in watermelon means whatever. And he says, whatever you believe creates your reality. Believe that life is a positive experience, and it will be. The A in watermelon is attitude. Attitude is the magic word. Your greatest asset is your attitude. Be positive regardless. T, together. He says, together everyone achieves more. There are no limits to what we can accomplish together. I am more than I am, but less than we are. E is for enthusiasm, and he says enthusiasm is the wellspring of life. There's no limit to what can be accomplished with enough enthusiasm. R, respect. Respect yourself as well as others. When you begin to respect yourself, your whole world changes. M, make commitments. Not excuses. There is an overwhelming power in the words, yes, I will. E, every day. Every day can be a fun day. Fun is the lubricant that keeps life moving forward. Laugh a lot. L, love is the answer. Whatever the question, love is the answer. It's the greatest force in the universe. O, one day at a time. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. All of life happens in increments of one. And N, never, never give up or become a victim. You are guaranteed to lose if you give up. Winston Churchill was right. Never, never, never give up. It works if you work it. Watermelon. You'll never think about a watermelon in the same way again. And today's world is, you know, we just have this tsunami we seem to be riding right now. And I think Wally's words are very good words. And another thing he says is don't allow yourself to be overwhelmed by events. Remember, you are larger than these events, and you have the power to create and change events by what you believe. You also have the power to change circumstances by initiating action. Too often, people will say, well, that's just the way things are. It's not, you can't change it. Why not? Why can't we change things that we know are not working for us? What happens is too often we get ourselves into a rut, and we accept that rut, thinking that that's where we have to stay. Sometimes you have to stick your neck out. Sometimes you've got to dare to be different. Does that mean you're going to be outside of the pack, so to speak? Perhaps. But remember, if you are true to yourself and what is most significant to you, and you have that integrity, and you do what you know you need to do, your life is going to have a richness to it that other people are really going to envy. Being an individual means that you are true to yourself. And sometimes people will say, oh, well, that's just being totally selfish. I don't think so. Because how can you be true to someone else if you can't be true to yourself? If you lie to yourself all the time, if you live in a world that's so make-believe that you just don't have any kind of awareness of reality, then you are really going to have a challenge because nobody's going to take you seriously. But if you have a real commitment to yourself, to your dreams, to your ideals, to what you know is really right, you're going to find that you'll have support that you would never have envisioned because people are going to see you doing what you need to do for yourself. For example, if you're wanting to go back to school, I don't care if you're 23 or 93, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and take the time. Budget things out. If you find that money's a little bit tight, maybe you're concerned about your job environment right now. Okay, this is the time to explore. What other options? I just got through interviewing a man who was a pharmacist. He was in the pharmacological industry. And he said he didn't want to be with that anymore. He ended up seeing someone who was a DJ, and he said, I think I like that. Got into it. Now, he's an advisor on how you can do wedding events. You know, he's constantly involved. He's got a team of people that are working with him, and he's incredibly successful. This is significant. Not everybody's going to be a PhD in physics. We need people who are going to enjoy doing landscaping and doing plumbing, electricity, you know, building decks, people that understand how to deal with all kinds of things. We need the hairdressers. We need the nail painters. We need all of these people. But how are you going to know what you really want to be involved with if you don't give some time to yourself? So remember, watermelon is the answer. Whatever attitude, together, enthusiasm, respect, make everyday love one never. That's just an abbreviation of the words, but the meanings behind everything that he had that I shared with you, I think, is invaluable. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be here same time, same place tomorrow talking about Indigo Awakening with Dr. Janine Talty. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Oh, and don't forget, we've got our shows archived, so you can listen to them at any time when you want to. This is Donna Sebo. Talk to you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.